Father, thank you for this day. Beautiful weather this morning, sunshine out there. Spring is almost here. And just so grateful for the seasons, for being able to live in this part of the country and in enjoying relatively nice weather most of the time. And just thank you for your provision in our lives. Thank you for all those that are here this morning. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to each one of them, that your Holy Spirit would just prompt their hearts and their minds as to what you would have them to do for you, what they need to hear this morning. And I just thank you for just blessing us beyond what we deserve. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're looking at Mark chapter 1, looking at verses 40 through 45. Seeing a interaction that Jesus had with a leper. So I wanted to start off a little bit talking about leprosy. In that time, in that culture, the law of Moses, stated that when a leper was coming, they need to call out, "Unclean, unclean," because it was a contagious disease. They didn't want it to spread. They tended to be outcasts. They had to live separately from other people. This was a skin disease, like I said, that was contagious. It caused severe disfiguration, sores on the skin. Sometimes you would lose fingers and toes and appendages because you would also lose, you'd have nerve damage and literally chop a finger off and not really know it. It was something this was something that I found very interesting as I was looking at this. It was something that was never healed. They never used that term that leprosy was healed. It was cleansed. They specifically used that term that it was cleansed. In that culture, it was thought that someone that had leprosy must have been a great sinner, because that's why they had leprosy. I'm not sure what happened to all the rest of the people that were sinners, but it was just kind of that feel on leprosy. So turn in your Bibles to Mark 1, 40 through 45. I'm going to be reading that section. It says, "A leper came to Jesus, beseeching him, falling on his knees before him and saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sternly warned him to go and show himself," And Jesus sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anybody, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in the unpopulated areas. And they came and they were coming to him from everywhere. So we see this, one of the issues that Jesus is having to deal with in this is a balance, and we kind of saw this last week too, a balance between healing and spreading the gospel. That sometimes the healing can actually get in the way of the gospel. Because people are looking for that. They're looking for the healing. Instead of the root of the problem, which is sin, they're looking for the immediate issue of the healing. Romans 8 talks about that creation literally itself groans with sin, that what sin has caused in creation. Creation is looking for the time when ultimately it will be new. Romans 8, 19 through 22 says, "For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now." That literally creation was affected by man's sin, by Adam's sin. The balance then being able to present the gospel and people listening and understanding, because that's Jesus' goal, is to present the gospel, the good news, because it will deal with the root issue of sin. In Mark 1:15, Jesus says, "Repent and believe." Repent and believe. It's the long-term solution. A lot of times we're looking for the short-term solution. You know, I want immediate relief. But a lot of times that immediate relief then is only temporary. It's the quick fix. That's kind of our human nature. You know, I want it now and I want it to be fixed. I don't want to take the time to do what I really need to do. So the leper that came to Jesus, in Luke 15, it talks about this same person. And in Luke 15, it says he was covered with leprosy. So in other words, not just a little bit here and a little bit there, but literally covered with leprosy from head to toe. Nasty, smelly, rotten flesh. It was probably wrapped in blood-soaked, pus-filled cloth. It was that's leprosy. It's nasty. It is so nasty. Now in Luke's passage, he talks about them being in the city, but I'm not really sure about that exactly, because they were separated. They weren't to be around other people. So it could be that it was in between cities as he was going from one to another. Because the law required seclusion. Remember, they had to holler out, "Unclean, unclean." They were separate. You know, there's leper colonies around the world, and they're kept separate, away from other people. The leper makes an interesting statement to Jesus, and that's what it is. It's actually a statement. He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." He didn't come to him pleading for cleansing. He came to Jesus and he made this statement, "If you're willing." The leper acknowledged his condition, that he was unclean and he needed cleansing. He was totally unable to do anything about it himself. He needed to be cleansed. And he was right up front about it. How often do we hide our sin? You know, we don't want to totally admit to what we're dealing with. We don't want to totally come before Jesus and say, I need cleansing from whatever it might be. The leper was humble. He had this attitude, "If you're willing, if you're willing." He didn't have an attitude of entitlement. And I kind of wonder if that's what started to happen as Jesus was healing people. People would come to him with this attitude of, "Well, of course he'll heal me." More of an attitude of entitlement as opposed to humbly coming before Jesus and saying, "If you will, heal me or cleanse me. Make me clean." Jesus' response to the leper is compassion. The Greek word there, spiklazomai. Here's the definition. I love this definition. to be moved as to one's bowels. Here's why. Because at that time, they thought the seed of love and pity were in your bowels. I mean, they thought in those terms of where things lie in your body. So this compassion, he was compassionate when he saw him. And then he did something that no one would even think of ever doing with a leper. He reached out and touched him. Remember, he's covered from head to toe in these nasty, smelly rottenness. These rags that are just disgusting. And in Jesus' compassion, he reaches out and touches him. And not only does Jesus touch him, but he cleanses him. And one of Mark's favorite words, immediately. Immediately. Remember last week we talked a little bit about miracles. The miracles happen immediately, completely. That it's not a long, stretched out process. It happens. If it's a miracle, it happens. Boom. And then Jesus makes this interesting statement. It says he sternly warned him, don't be going out and blabbing this around. That's a paraphrased version. Because Jesus already has had this experience with people start finding out, you know, that he can heal people and doing this and doing that. And he says, don't tell anybody. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the priest and make the offering that's required. And he makes another interesting statement here at the end of that, verse 44, as a testimony to them. Jesus was showing them, I can even heal a leper. I am Messiah. I am the Christ that has come. Because the priests are the ones that were really having the hardest time with Jesus, of recognizing him as Messiah. John 3:19 says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. The religious leaders were all about themselves. They, you know, remember Jesus called them, you know, blind shepherds leading the blind. He had not a whole lot of room for them, that they were not doing what they should be doing. Their motivation was themselves and what they could get out of it. He tells them to make an offering according to the law. Because that's what's required. So what's the leper's response? The leper's response actually is disobedience. He doesn't do what Jesus tells him to do. He goes out and he starts telling everybody that he can. And I mean, you realize that because he's excited. I mean, this guy was leprous and now he's absolutely clean. He's excited about it. He wants to tell people about it. And he forgets what Jesus told him to do. Matthew 7:26, the end of the Beatitudes, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. In comparison to the one who hears his words and acts on them is like the man who builds his house on the rock. That we're to listen to Jesus' words and then act upon them. Instead of going out and telling everybody like the leper did what he was told not to, it has an effect on Jesus' ministry. It changes his itinerary. So now he's having to not go in the cities. He's having to stay out in the country. But that doesn't thwart God's plan. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." So God can still work. Even if Jesus is out in the country, God is still going to work. Because one of the things that's happening is, it says, people came from everywhere. I mean, they're here. A leper's been cleaned. First of all, I want to go see this guy. I wonder what he looks like. What's he sound like? But then on the other side is people who are in need of physical healing, they want to go find him. So they're looking for this physical healing. What they don't realize is that many of them, they're not only going to get physical healing, but they're going to get spiritual healing. That they're going to come to realize that this is Messiah. Remember their amazement and their response at just Jesus speaking to them in the synagogue, reading from God's word and then speaking to them, and it literally blew them away just what he said, the authority that he had. That because this is not how their spiritual leaders taught them. They didn't teach with that kind of authority. They were all about more of the traditions than they really were of God's word. Coming and getting the spiritual healing, because that really is what Jesus wanted them to get, was the spiritual healing. He was willing to give the physical healing, but really the goal was the good news, that you can be cleansed of your sin. What is our interaction with those who are less fortunate than us? Those who are maybe kind of outside the societal norm, or really anymore outside of our norm? Because I'm not sure what the societal norm is anymore. I don't know that there is a normal. I guess this is the new normal, unnormal. But those who we look at and, you know, maybe don't right away kind of connect with, do we have compassion for them, whatever they're dealing with, whatever they're going through? Is our immediate response compassion, or is our immediate response judgmental? Do we think, wonder what kind of sin they have that's caused X? Or do we think, I wonder how I can come alongside them and help them and encourage them and get to the point where I can tell them the good news, the ultimate goal? And the thing is we're all in the same boat, because we're all sinners, right? This is where you acknowledge, yes, we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ephesians 2 goes even more detail. Ephesians 2:1-3 says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That's who we were before Christ. We literally were dead in our sin, dead to God. But He saw fit to send the Savior, to send Jesus to us, the good news that, oh, by the way, you can be cleansed. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you have. It doesn't matter if you have nasty, horrible, rotten leprosy. The blood of Jesus can cleanse you from that. We all have needs that are too great to be solved without help. Because we can't take care of our own sin. We have to have a Savior that will take care of that sin for us. We do have to acknowledge it. We do have to ask that it be taken care of. Just as the leper came to Jesus humbly, realizing what his problem was. And knowing, he knew that Jesus could take care of it if he was willing to. The living God brings restoration. Restoration of us to him, and restoration of us to other people. The living God brings hope. That's where any hope would lie. In this world, our hope is in the living God. Because in this world itself, there isn't much hope. There isn't much hope. The living God brings relief. The living God brings relief to whatever you're dealing with, whatever your issues are, he will bring you relief. And most importantly, the living God will bring cleansing. Cleansing from all sin. 1 John 1:7 says, "But we walk in the light as he himself is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin." Is there any sin that Jesus' blood won't cleanse? No. It says all sin. There is no sin that you can do that the blood of Jesus won't take care of. Because if you think there's some sin that's too great, actually, that's arrogance and that's pride. If you think your sin is so great that a God who created you, who created everything, can't deal with it, God can deal with whatever sin you have. Thanks to his love and his mercy and his grace and his compassion. So our response to a loving God, first off, don't be making any deals with God. Well, God, if you'll do this, then I'll do. God, if you'll provide this, then I'll do. You know, the leper didn't come to him and said, you know, if you'll cleanse me, then I'll follow you the rest of my life. If you cleanse me, then I'll, you know, fill in the blank. He just came to Jesus and said, I know that you're capable of doing this if you will. And no excuses. He didn't come to Jesus and say, well, you know, I've got this leprosy because whatever. Making some excuse for whatever the issue was. Coming to God, making excuse. Well, God, you know, I'm, I grew up in this family and, you know, had this issue and this happened and that happened. Just take responsibility for yourself. Take responsibility for your own sin and just say, you know what, I'm a sinner. And I'm in need of cleansing, and it has nothing to do with my past. And have humility. Come to the living God with humility, knowing that there is nothing that you can do that is absolutely up to God to bring the healing and the cleansing from sin. We just need to acknowledge that he's God and he's capable of doing that, and that Jesus came to take care of that sin. And that's the last one there. Believe in Jesus. Believe that he is who he said he was. That he came to save us. Jesus, talking to the woman, says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. and we're all dying. We will all die at some point. And if we have Jesus Christ, if we've accepted Him as our Savior, even though we die, we will live. We'll live in eternity with Him. Live in eternity with Him. This last statement here actually took right out of Chuck Swindoll's commentary, because he says it way better than I can. I acknowledge that I'm a sinful person. I acknowledge that deep down inside, I am diseased with sinfulness. I am, as the Scripture says, dead in trespasses and sin, Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. And so I come to You, Lord, as a diseased, depraved sinner. I can bring nothing in my own hands that would in any way ingratiate me to You. And I'm at Your mercy. Forgive me, cleanse me, take me. I trust in Christ for the cleansing I need. Now, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, we still need this because we still sin every day. We still need the cleansing. We still need to come to Jesus and say, I need a bath today. I need to be cleansed. I need my feet washed. Because as we tromp around in this world, we sin. In fact, there's probably many of us that before we even get out of bed in the morning, we've sinned. And we need that cleansing from Jesus. So I left a blank down on the page there in your handout, action point. It kind of struck me the other day. I should have been doing this way back. But it's, you know, just as, you know, we go through a Sunday morning and we talk about these different passages, is there one thing that the Holy Spirit has just kind of said, maybe you could work on this week, or maybe you need to do this today, or, you know, here's a different thought. It's good to just write it down. Even if you don't keep it, it's good to write it down because it helps put it up here better. So I would encourage you that, you know, as we're going along, as I'm doing messages and talking about different passages, if there's something that the Holy Spirit just really brings to your mind, pull out that handout and write it down on there, or in your journal, or whatever you have on your electronic device, or whatever it is. You know, write that down, the thing that the Holy Spirit is trying to get through to you. God wants us to have that relationship with Him. But that sin has to be cleansed, because that sin breaks the relationship. Even if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, sin will still break the relationship. Because we're embarrassed by it or whatever it is, we don't, you know, how do you go before a holy God and talk to Him when you've got this sin that you haven't dealt with? You know, you tend to kind of veer away from God. So keep those accounts short. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, deal with it. You know, get on your knees before God and say, God, cleanse me. I've sinned. Please cleanse me. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You did send Jesus as Savior of the whole world. If we'll but acknowledge that He is Savior, that He is God. God come down to earth in flesh, who lived on this earth, who who told people the good news, who healed people, who was then arrested unjustly, convicted, humiliated, hung on a cross. His blood was shed for us to take care of our sin issue. And then the greatest news of all is he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again, again to show that he was who he said he was. To show us that he had the power and the authority to take care of the sin that we have. Oh, Father, help us to pay attention to your Holy Spirit. When he prompts us to act, when he prompts us to speak, when he prompts us to get on our face before you and confess our sin and ask for cleansing, that we'll do it. That we'll be obedient. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, just a couple things here. Just want to thank Tom for putting on the spaghetti feed last week, and those of you also that helped in that. We raised $667 toward the building, so that was pretty awesome. And I can't remember if I actually even shared this or not, but the bake sale that we had a couple weeks ago, over $400, almost $500. I mean, that's, wow. That's pretty awesome. I'm a generous bunch of people. And then I also want to thank those of you that are parking y'all out yonder over in the other parking lot. Thank you for doing that. Appreciate leaving some space for others that have a little harder time getting in. So God bless you all. Have a great week. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to mention that the Wolf family just sent me an update on how they're doing. You may not know, but they had to come back to the United States because of some medical problems. But you might want to read that. Everything's all right. And I want to read their update.
All right. Have a great week.